This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a joy it is to be with all of you in this time of worship, and it's my privilege to welcome you into this time. I'd like to ask if you're worshiping with us online, that you register your attendance by clicking on the link that should be available in the chat. And for all of us who are here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you'll sign those and pass them back again, and take a look at the names of others sitting on your row, and if there's a name you don't recognize, there's an opportunity to meet someone new today, or perhaps welcome someone who's here for the first time. As we gather for worship this morning, I have lots of announcements. This is a busy week as we sort of launch into the fall. Lots of information is printed in your bulletin, but I do want to highlight a few things. This afternoon, our youth are kicking off their fall programming, and the youth kickoff is from 4:45 until 7 for all 7th through 12th graders. That is taking place off-site at the home of some church members, and our youth minister Emily Robbins will be in the narthex after church if you want to get that information from her so your youth can be there and be in part of the egg extravaganza. Just make sure they bring towels and take a shower when they get home. That's all I'm saying. Also this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we have our monthly service of Teze worship. This month, it will be upstairs in the fourth story theater with the Labyrinth. And so we invite you to come and participate in that time of contemplative prayer and singing. Our Wednesday night programming starts up this Wednesday with dinner, children's choirs, and a midweek worship service. There's a link in the bulletin that you can find to register for dinner. We need RSVPs by noon tomorrow so that we'll have our numbers right, but we'll be gathering for dinner every week on Wednesdays and really looking forward to that. We haven't been able to do that since March of 2020, so we hope that everybody will come who is able. Then, Friday and Saturday of next week, we are helping to build a Habitat house, and we need volunteers for Habitat. Again, the link that you can find is in the bulletin if you want to sign up for one or both of those days. We'll have several opportunities through the fall, but this is our first one, and we hope to have lots of people sign up. On Saturday, from 3:30 to 5:30 upstairs in the fourth story theater, we have the closing reception for our Daybreak Arts show. And if you've are aware of that art show, all the works were painted by people who are either currently or have in the past experienced homelessness. And so the artists will be present, there'll be a Q&A, and it'll be a wonderful experience if you are able to come to that on Saturday. And then we'll top off the week back here next Sunday, which is a Jubilee Sunday, a Sunday we've designated to get folks back in the church. If you're able to worship in person, we hope that you can be here in person next Sunday with a chance to connect and meet some new folks. And if you worship online, to worship in real time so you connect with others who are worshiping online. In the gym from 9:30 to 12:30 next Sunday, we've got like 35 plus tables set up of different ministries, Sunday school classes, small groups, opportunities for you to connect and engage in the life of the church. So it's going to be a great Sunday, and we hope that you can be here with us. We are continuing to have work done on our organ. We've got a good team of people coming in this week, but it was working a little bit, but just not quite reliable enough to have it on Sunday morning. So if you will say a prayer for our organ and a prayer of thanks for all of our musicians who have just continued to offer and lead us in wonderful music at the piano and with their voices. It is time for us to open ourselves to this hour of worship as we hear again from the preacher of the book of Hebrews who cries out to us over 2,000 years to remind us of who we are called to be. So let us worship together.
Together by Christ, all by love on me come. By faith, we trust that we were created in the image of God. By faith, we face our fears and insecurities.
By faith, we till the soil of our lives and plant seeds of love.
By faith, we trust in God's presence and follow where God leads.
By faith, let us worship God together.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Almighty God, we are not always people who live by faith. We know that we were created in your image, yet we treat ourselves and each other's in ways that do not honor your presence within us. We know your laws and your commandments, yet we choose to disobey you and to act in ways that harm our neighbors. We hear your call to reach out to those most in need, yet we turn our backs on them and on you. Forgive us, O God, and help us day by day to become more faithful followers and the people you created us to be. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online, you may do that in the chat or with people around you. And those of you here in the sanctuary may do this in whatever way is most comfortable for you. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Laura and Susan Matthews bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Laura and Susan, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people. If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. My friends in the congregation, Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Okay, you wanna come see me? Hi, Luke. I know she's interesting too, isn't she?
Yeah.
And what name have you given your son?
Luca Joseph Matthews.
Luca?
Joseph.
Luca Joseph. Luca Joseph. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who comforts you and lives within you all the days of your life. Okay, Luca, we're going to move this way so that your parents and friends and all of us can pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sorry to keep my back to you, but I think you want to see his face. Will you pray with me? Luca Joseph, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Luca, we're going to go for a little walk so you can see a little bit more closely your church family. This is your family up here, and this is your church family. Oh, there they are. Yeah, and in just a minute, they're going to make a promise to you to help you grow up in love, to learn how much God loves you, to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus and to share God's love in the world. I bet one of these people might be a Sunday school teacher for you one of these days, or vacation Bible school leader, maybe even a confirmation mentor. So let's open our ears wide and listen as they make their promise to you.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Luca Joseph? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Luca Joseph to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Luca Joseph, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say today. A lesson from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 through the 12th chapter, verse 2. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commanded for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
grown-ups to be seated, and if there are children who want to come forward, I'm going to invite you to come to this part right here, which is a little different from the usual place where we gather. We'll just meet me right up here. Yeah, great. We're going to do something a little different today. You should sit right here. Whoops, just come right here in front of me. There we go. You're good. Okay. Great, welcome, welcome. We just heard Miss Beth read a part of the Bible that talks about following Jesus, and it as if it were like a race. You ever won a race before? Ever run in a race before? I haven't run in very many, but I know what they are. So I want us to imagine that we're running a race, okay? And in the Bible it says when you're running the race, look at Jesus at the finish line. So, look at that. We've got an image of Jesus right there. So we're going to pretend like we're running a race and we're following Jesus and we want to be like Jesus and we're running and running and running. Can you take a running position like this? There you go. Okay, so we're running and running and then we kind of get tired. Oh, we start to droop and our hands droop and our knees droop. Yeah, well, good for you. I get kind of tired sometimes when I run. So when we are tired, sometimes we need other people to cheer us on. So I'm going to invite everybody here. We're drooping up here trying to run this race. Can you cheer us on? Can you cheer for us? Oh, yay! Ooh, wow. Oh, that feels so good. Thank you so much. Suddenly, I've got all sorts of energy, and I think I can keep running and running and running and doing my best to follow Jesus. That's what this Bible story is all about. It's that following Jesus can be hard sometimes, and we need other people to cheer us on. And that's what we have in church, in our church family, is people who can help cheer us on so we can follow Jesus better. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for our church family, for all the people who can cheer us on and show us how better to follow Jesus. We want to be more like him. More loving, more giving, kinder. So help us with each day to do our very best. And when we feel a little tired, to remember there are lots of people cheering us on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you're 3. Okay, well, you can go with Pastor Maggie. And you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. If you're older than that, you can go back to your seats with family and friends. Thank you so much for listening and for pretending to run a race with me. I love this image of the race that comes to us in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I want us to hold that image in our minds and our hearts as we explore this text a little more together. This image of following Jesus like running a race. If you were with us last week, you know that this is the second Sunday that we're spending some time in the book of Hebrews. We looked at Hebrews last week, this week, and next week. And you may remember that this book of Hebrews really is more of a sermon than it is a letter. It is a word of exhortation. The writer himself calls it that, a word of exhortation, that he is sending to a congregation. A congregation that he seems to know and love well. A congregation that he has spent some time with and done life with. A congregation that is getting a little weary. These are people who have been following Jesus, running the race, trying to live in Jesus' way, the way of kindness and mercy and generosity, the way of peace and justice in the world, and they're living in a world that's dominated by empire, that doesn't welcome the way of Jesus. And they're getting tired, and they need a word of encouragement. And so the preacher offers this word of encouragement to them. And I talked a little bit last week about how we're going to tune in to 3 different ways that he encourages them. Because, like them, we know what it's like to be tired. We know what it's like to be exhausted, to be doing what we can to follow Jesus faithfully and bumping up against the ways of the world again and again and again. And so we lean in to hear the words of this ancient preacher, to hear if he might encourage us and exhort us as well. So what we looked at last week was how he lifted up for them the example of some of their ancestors in the faith. He reminded them of Abraham and Sarah, who stepped out in faith on a journey whose destination they did not know, who trusted in the promises of God, and who died before the promise was fulfilled. And it was a word of encouragement to keep the faith and to do our part to stay faithful to the promises of God, knowing that we might not see all of God's promises fulfilled, but we have our part to play, and we're called to keep the faith. This morning, I want to focus in on what he says at the very end of the text that we've heard. When we're getting tired, when our knees are sagging, when we feel like we're not seeing the evidence of God's kingdom on earth manifesting itself in all the work that we're trying to do as the people of God, the preacher tells us, look at Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I have to say, this was a word that really resonated with me. Because even before the pandemic, I was feeling some exhaustion in my faith and the world the way it was and things that weren't always going well in my own life and just sometimes feeling spiritually dry. And it came to me that what I really needed was Jesus. I just needed a little more focus on Jesus in my life, to explore his ministry, his words, his teachings, to dive in deeply into that relationship and look for renewal in Jesus. What does it mean to you to look to Jesus? How do we do that? For me, a big part of that is going to the primary sources, spending time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You may have noticed, except for the month of August, we've been spending most of the past few months in the Gospel of Luke. It's because I just needed me some Jesus. And so we've just been spending time walking with Jesus in Galilee. We'll pick up that journey the first week of September and take it all the way to the first week of Advent. Dwelling with Jesus as he is revealed to us in the Gospels, reading the encounters he had with people, reading his teachings, watching and observing and walking with him all the way to the cross and the empty tomb. We look to Jesus in our prayers, placing him at the center of our prayers, walking with him as we would a friend, perhaps. We look to Jesus by seeking his face in the faces of others, especially the lost, the last, the outcast, the poor, and the hurting. So those are some of the ways in my own life that I look to Jesus. But what is it that we're looking for? What is it that Jesus can offer us to buck us up on this journey that we're on? Well, there are lots of ways, and I want to just highlight a few of them, but encourage you on your own prayerfully to consider, what does it mean in your own life to look to Jesus? I think we look to Jesus to be healed and forgiven and comforted. I think we look to Jesus to receive compassion. Every one of us in this room has our own brokenness, our own wounds, our own patterns of life that we need healing from. And we can go to these stories and these encounters in the Gospels and see a Jesus who is filled with compassion, who welcomes the most unlikely people, who reaches down to the leper who falls at his feet and touches him, knowing that what this man needed more than anything was human touch. We see Jesus who sees a woman who's been accused of adultery, faced down by a line of religious folks, stones in hand, ready to condemn her and kill her for her sin. And he says, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. And then he goes to her and says, I do not condemn you. And we hear those words and allow them to sink into our bones. Neither are we condemned. Example after example of Jesus' love and compassion and inclusion and all of the ways that he loves people throughout the Gospels. And we experience that love for ourselves. We go, we look to Jesus to be healed and forgiven. We also look to Jesus to be challenged and made uncomfortable. Well, I don't know that we go looking for that. But it happens whether we want it to or not. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to look to Jesus to confirm everything I already think. I look to Jesus to stand by my side and just agree with me on everything. I just assume I'm so comfortable with the idea of Jesus. And, you know, of course Jesus approves of everything and agrees with me on everything. And the minute I start feeling that way, that's the minute I have diverged from the path. There are so many ways that Jesus challenges and provokes and makes people uncomfortable all throughout the Gospels, most especially the wealthy and the judgmental and those who think they have it all together and they're all right. He is not shy about holding people accountable and saying hard things. Just read the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is very prickly throughout the whole Gospel. Like, where's gentle Jesus, meek and mild? He's not really there very often in Mark's Gospel, especially. I listen to the Sermon on the Mount, and I hear Jesus say, love your enemies. I hear Jesus say, as you forgive others, so your Father will forgive you. Wait a minute, my forgiveness is somehow connected with me forgiving. Ooh, I don't like that. I'm just going to water that one down. Or I hear Jesus say how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Ouch. That makes me really uncomfortable. But if we look to Jesus, he will at times make us uncomfortable. I can't remember who said it, but Jesus came to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So those places in our lives where we're afflicted, we will find Jesus' comfort. Where we are comfortable, Jesus will afflict us and call us into change. We look to Jesus to heal us and comfort us, to challenge and provoke us. We look to Jesus to tell us who we are. This is where that image of the race comes in handy again. The word that the preacher uses in the race is not unlike a horse that has blinders on. To put the blinders on, look only to Jesus. Only let Jesus tell you who you are. There are so many other voices shouting from the sidelines, wanting to tell us who we are and what we're worth. But don't listen to them. Set aside every weight and every sin and look and listen only to Jesus. There are some voices that want to tell us we're not worthy, that want to tell us everything that's wrong with us, that want to tell us we don't belong. There are also voices that want to tell us we're awesome and we got this and we're the best thing ever. And the temptation there is to think, I got this. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus at the finish line. I'm just going to set my own pace. All sorts of voices that want to draw us away, draw our attention away from the only one who's at the finish line. Jesus tells us who we are. And we see that happening throughout the Gospels when he looks to Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector who is so hated by everyone in his community. And he puts his arm around him and says, here's a child of Abraham, a child of God. We see it when he looks at the woman who has touched his robe to be healed. She is so isolated and so discarded by her community because she has had this hemorrhage for 12 years that makes her unclean. She spent everything she had on doctors. She is desperate, and she just wants to touch his robe and not bother him. But he turns and looks at her and calls her daughter. Jesus tells us who we are, children of God, no less. We look to Jesus to tell us who we are. And finally, we look to Jesus to show us the way and to give us hope. The writer of Hebrews says, Jesus was so fixed on the joy that was to come, on the joy of the final day, that he was able to endure horrendous suffering, torture and mocking and crucifixion, because he kept his eye on the joy that was to come. And so when we go through times of darkness and suffering, he has set the pattern for us. And he reminds us in who he is of the joy that is coming. Everywhere he went in his life and his ministry, the kingdom of God emerged. We could see it in his presence, in his interaction with people, in the ways that he loved. And we have in him the promise of eternal life, and the promise of that day that the prophets talked of, which we talked about last week, that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, that day when the kingdom of God will be known on earth as it is in heaven, that day when all the nations of the earth shall unite as one. We look to Jesus for that hope, and we keep the faith. And we run the race. And so we hear these words of the preacher echoing 2,000 years down to us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us put aside every weight and every sin and run with perseverance the race that is set before us. In our day, in our time, in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our country, in our world, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Let us run the race with faith.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can fill those out and place them in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. This morning, our prayers are with Patrick McAnally and his family, who are mourning the death of his grandfather, Harold Smithson McAnally, who passed away on Tuesday, August 16th. Services were held on Saturday, August 20th in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Our prayers are also with the friends and family of West End member Sarah Ann Frost Stamps, who passed away early this morning, August 21st. Among her survivors are her three daughters, Sally Swore, Mary Gamble, and Martha Stamps, and their families. A memorial service will be announced when arrangements have been made. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, who is behind us, beside us, and before us, we give you thanks for our ancestors in the faith. We give you thanks for that great cloud of witnesses who have shared with us their love of Jesus and have showed us what it means to follow him. And we give you thanks for this community of faith, for friends who carry the baton of faith alongside us and cheer us on so that we do not run the race alone. We pray this day, O God, for those who struggle with their faith, for those who are weary, those who are burdened by sin, for those who have more questions than answers, for those who wrestle with you. May they remember that even the great saints of the church often doubted and struggled and even challenged the faith of their inheritance. And may all of us trust that your love is deeper and wider than any of our questions or struggles or disbelief or even at times our anger. O great physician, we pray for those who are ill, for those who are undergoing medical treatment, for those who are recovering after surgery. May your healing power be upon them, and may your grace sustain them. We pray for those whose minds and spirits are ill at ease, for those who are experiencing anxiety or depression, for those who are struggling with addiction. May your peace that passes all understanding guard their hearts and minds this day. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, those whose hearts feel heavy, those for whom grief feels ever present. May they find comfort in your abiding presence and steadfast love. And finally, Christ Jesus, we pray for our world, for war-torn places and for people who are in the grips of poverty. We pray that our hearts, our communities, our church, and even our earth might be renewed by the power of your Spirit. Help us to look to you and to the joy that was set before you, that our lives might be patterned after your love and our faith might be perfected by your grace. Help us to persevere. We ask all of this in your name, O Jesus, as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare now to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on the screen. Those of us here in the sanctuary will have offering plates passed down the pews in a few moments. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to our loving God, the one who loves us unconditionally.
It's time to keep running the race. We've had a chance to make a water stop, to remember the waters of baptism, to breathe in the Holy Spirit, to be cheered on by one another, and now we go forth to run the race, to share the love, to receive the peace of Christ. Amen.